And this morning, as we get ready to get into the Word of God, if it just fits right in there, because I want to talk to you this morning about a gentle whisper. I want to talk to you about how God will whisper to you in the quietest of times. And it's in those whispers where God will do the most work. It's in those moments where God will speak one simple word and it will overcome obstacles you've been facing for months. Now, if you're saying, Pastor, you forgot about the offering, I haven't. We're going to wait until the end of service because I just want to move right into what God has for us. So we will take care of that at the end. But I tell you what, God wants to whisper to you and me this morning. There's something that He wants to deposit in our very hearts as we come and worship Him in song, in word, and in action, in our deeds. If you have your bulletins, you can follow along with me as there's an outline there to follow. And it's called this morning, A Gentle Whisper. Last week, we took some time and talked about what it means to hurry up and wait. I asked the question last week, how many of you like to wait? Nobody raised their hand last week. I'm going to guess nobody will raise their hand this week. But it's in those seasons of waiting that God is doing some of His greatest work. But when God whispers, how many of you know that God can accomplish more in one whisper from His mouth than through a lifetime of us trying to work and overcome? Do you believe that? How many of you would say that I've heard God whisper to me? Can you say that? Okay. You may be here and say, I don't know if I can say that. Then my prayer is simply this. If you're here today and you want to know what it's like to hear God whisper something to you or hear God speak to you, here's all you have to do is say, God, that's me. I want it. And then you start developing an ear to hear the Lord. You see, God wants to whisper to us something so magnificent that it will rearrange our lives. And I want to introduce you to a man in the Bible who we can probably identify with very much. And we're going to be looking at 1 Kings chapter 19, if you want to turn there and kind of get a heads up on where we're going with this. God wants to speak to you and me today in a way that influences our here and now. How many of you would say today there is something going on in your life right now, no matter what age you are, no matter if you're a business owner or you're the employer, the employee, whether you have a job or not, married, single. How many of you are in a situation where you need to see God move? You say, I need, it might not even be, it's a crisis, it's a tragedy, it might just be, I just constantly want to see God move in my life. Well, we can all probably raise our hands to that. But my question is how do you know where to go if you don't take the time to listen? We've got to have an ear to hear the Lord. And sometimes the greatest lessons will be when God whispers. God has a way of getting our attention. Do you believe that? He has a way of getting my attention. It's amazing. Sometimes I say, God, why do you have to use such tragic things and huge things to get my attention? You know what God said? Don't ask Him those questions unless you really want to know the answer. I said, God, why do you got to use these major things in life to get it through to me? And He said, because you don't listen the first time. And sometimes God will, He doesn't cause things to happen just to pin you in and get it. He'll just use life circumstances. Maybe it's our choices, or maybe it's the lack of stepping out in obedience. God will use those. Because He wants to influence our faith and let that influence our walk. You know, I heard a story of a woman who got a hold of her husband's attention. She walked up to him one day. He was sitting in his chair and he was reading his paper. And all of a sudden she came with a fly swatter and whack, hit him right across the forehead with a fly swatter. And snap, his head went back and he said, ow! He said, why did you hit me with the fly swatter? And she said, because I was hanging your coat up going through the pockets and I found Marianne's name in your pocket. And he said, oh, honey, he said, I was at the horse races and Marianne's just the name of a horse that I was betting on. And she said, oh, she said, I'm sorry. She said, I misunderstood. 2 weeks later, he was sitting in that same chair, and this time it was a cast iron skillet. Bong, and rang that thing off his head. When he came back to consciousness, he said, honey, why'd you do that? And she said, your horse just called. When we want to get people's attention, sometimes it takes fly swatters, sometimes it takes skillets. When God wants to get our attention, sometimes it takes fly swatters, sometimes it takes skillets. And sometimes it's just a gentle whisper. It's just something that God wants to speak. He wants to speak, I believe, today, and I don't say it because it's Sunday and you know we're in a church and we have to do this. I believe God wants to speak a now word to many people here today. Not a word that was just, you know, hey, I can lean into that from yesterday, and you know, whew, or a word that I can lean into for the future, which he will speak those, but I believe he wants to speak a now word. A word that says, right now, you need to hear God to know what to do about that relationship or that marriage or that job or that move or that social atmosphere that you're surrounding yourself with or a legality or a bank thing. I don't know what it is. I just know that God wants to speak a now word. And you know what a now word is? You know when it's good? It's good now. It's a fresh word. It's a fresh word of manna that God gives to you and to me. When people want to get our attention, though, sometimes, or when God wants to get our attention, he can do it through fly swatters, skillets, or a gentle whisper. Now, if you had to sign up, which one would you sign up for? Well, I'd sign up for the gentle whisper, right? But how many times have you had to learn through the brick wall? I know I've had a number of those. And you know what it means when you have to learn from running into brick walls? It means you were unwilling to listen to the first few times that God spoke. It's unfortunate at times, but sometimes those hard lessons are the exact lesson that we need so that we can hear what God has to say. The scripture says this. It's in your outlines at the very top, John chapter 10, verse 27. Let's read that one together. You ready? Go. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them. And they follow me. Now I'm going to come back to that at the end of the message, because really I'm going to give you three things up front, and then we're going to revisit those three things. Because I've found that some of the most significant life changes, or some of the most significant lessons that I have learned from God in life is when he has whispered to me. You would think that, well, wouldn't the greatest lessons in life be when you were at the top of your game and you were doing your best and people were like, had your name in life and here comes Jim Machen, you know, and everyone cheers and roars and now I know I've arrived, right? That's not what God's concerned about. He's concerned about your faithfulness. He's concerned about your willingness to hear even when it seems the most difficult. Do you still honor the Lord? When it seems like things are disappearing, do you still honor and worship him? When it seems like God's rearranging things, are you going to trust his process or are you going to lean into yours? See, that's what God is looking for. And I found in life, I don't know if this could be true for you, you'll have to decide, but I found that most significant things in my life happened when God whispered to me. You know, even in the illustration that Lisa had shared with us about being intimate with God, I don't mean this in a weird way, but there's a difference when she goes, hey, Jim, then when she goes, there's something that draws me into that whisper. How about you? Now, we can be like, you know, ooh, I know what you're doing. Same reason you are. Because there's a longing, and that's what God wants. He's longing to be with us, so he will whisper. But if we're so busy in the hustle and the bustle of life that chaos is ensuing all over the place, we will miss the whisper. And then we'll say, God, where are you? And he'll say, I've been here all along. Where are you? See, we're trying to get God to line up to our world instead of aligning our world to God. And that's why we miss the whisper. And when he whispers, those are the most significant things. What are the most significant things that happen is simply this. Number one, when God whispers. Number two is when I've listened, which we'll revisit that in a moment. And number three is when I've followed. The most significant things happened in my life when God whispered to me, when I listened, and when I followed. When God whispered, when I listened, when I followed. That's pretty simple to say it. It's another thing to do it. You see, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 10, verse 27, let's read that one together. You ready? Go. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim it from the roofs. If you're not listening and hearing what's whispered, what are you going to proclaim? What in the world are you going to say? If you don't know and you've not spent time, now it tells you right up front here, what I tell you in the dark, you're going to face some dark times. In this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer because God has overcome the world. No matter what darkness you face, he is the light in a dark place. Amen? Okay, you got to remind yourself. Sometimes you got to say those verses. You got to say them out loud and understand, I am more than an overcomer. And you got to realize that you're the victor. Greater is he that's within me than anything else in this world. Sometimes I quote those verses, not because I'm just bored or something. It's because I need to hear them. I need to speak them into existence. And he says, there's going to be dark times, but it's okay because I'm going to meet you there and I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to whisper. I'm going to whisper something to you in your ear. And you take that and you proclaim that and you do something with what it is that I've whispered. Here's the question. Has God whispered to you? And here's the follow-up. Have you done what he's whispered? Have you proclaimed it? Not proclaimed it like the Lord told me I need to change and I go, y'all need to change. No, he was speaking that to me. Have I changed it? It doesn't mean proclaim it, preach it, go give a testimony, do a three-point sermon. It means take what God spoke to you about you and do something with that. Let it leak out into your hands and your feet. Let it change and transform you so that it can be a testimony at some point. But it starts with a gentle whisper. I think the most classic example of God whispering is found in the Old Testament in 1 Kings. And we're going to take a look at a man by the name of Elijah. Now, I want to introduce you to Elijah. We were there a couple weeks ago talking about this guy. And I'm going to read to you, or we're going to read, look at together, verses 11 through 16 in just a moment. But let me kind of set the stage. Elijah was a prophet of God. Elijah was told to go and to basically throw down in front of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, right? He took on the Baal and female goddess, and had victory. And all of a sudden, Queen Jezebel is after his tail, right? If you watch the story, you know what I notice? I notice a King Ahab and a Queen Jezebel, but what I really notice is a Queen Jezebel running the kingdom. And she's got everyone scattered. She's got everyone going. And when she says jump, everyone says how high? And she's built this kingdom around her. And now somebody comes in speaking, proclaiming the word of God that he heard whispered in his ear. And there's victory that's given to him. Victory given to who? The one who heard the whisper. The one who heard the whisper. Not the one who's calling the shots and running their so-called kingdom. It's the one who heard the whisper. So Elijah takes off and he runs and he hides by the brook of Cherith. And what you see is you see that the Lord, or in the word of God, it says, Elijah, what are you doing? And he responds. And then God speaks something to him. And then he responds once again, but in a different way. Just for the sake of time, I'm going to kind of paraphrase the first part for you. The angel of the Lord showed up and said, Elijah, what are you doing? And he kind of like in a panic attack mode. Lord, I did what you told me to do, and I went, and I said what I had to say, and I did it all, and then they all died, and we won, but then she said she's going to kill me, and I ran, and I don't know where to go. I have no money. I have no roof. I have no home. I don't know what to do now, and he starts panicking. And all of a sudden, the Lord says, whoa, hold on. And he does something that we're going to read about in just a moment, but it boils down to one phrase, a whisper that God gives to him that changes everything. And then the angel of the Lord says, Elijah, what are you doing? Once again. And he says, I did what you told me to. I've obeyed. But everything seems to be falling apart. You see, there's a difference in the response. Because have you ever been in a circumstance in life where you feel like you're entering into a panic attack? You're entering into panic mode. Chaos is ensuing. You don't know what to do. Things are getting out of your control. So you start making quick decisions because you're just trying to stay on top of things and things only get worse. See, that's when we need to hear a whisper, a word from the Lord. Elijah was a man who, as I said, took on the prophets, or took on King Ahab and Queen Jezebel. There were 800 false prophets of Baal and Asherah, and he defeated them all. Queen Jezebel was so mad, she said, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to take your life. You are a dead man. You ever feel like the world's saying, you are a dead man. I am coming after you. I'm going to take you out. That's what the enemy wants to do. He feels depleted. He feels exhausted. And he hides in a cave. And he cries out to God. And God speaks to him. Have you ever felt exhausted and depleted? You know, the kind of exhaustion and depletion where all of a sudden, your situations or the events of your life, let's say they don't go as planned. You've got a plan. This is my track. This is the way I thought we were going. But then all of a sudden, God derails that train, and things don't seem to go the way that you thought they should. Or maybe you're facing this exhaustion and this depletion because you're facing overwhelming opposition. No matter where you go, people are getting in your face. They're challenging you. You're trying to make the right choices. But it seems like people challenge you all along the way. Maybe it's a deal that you're working out in your business and it doesn't work out. It doesn't go the way that you planned it to. You actually experience the loss and you're wondering what to do about it. Maybe it's when you got a bad medical diagnosis. You've had one sickness to just roll into another sickness, to just roll into another sickness. And you're saying, I don't get it. It's when you're unsure about tomorrow and you just become discouraged and you need a now word. You need a now word from God. Not a then word, not a someday word, a now word that God speaks to you. I want you to look at this with me as we read about how God speaks, and I want you to watch how he speaks. I'm going to read to you from I typically read from New American Standard Translation. But this portion here I took out of, NIV, because I like the way it worded it and showing us what is taking place. Let me go ahead and just read this first part to you. It says that the Lord said, go and stand in the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart, shattered the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire came a what? A gentle whisper. God said, here's so many things going on over here, and here's the busy, here's the Hollywood going on in your life. Here's the Bel Air section. Here's downtown New York. Man, that's all good, and that's all fine, and that's all dandy. But sometimes what you and I need to know, it's in the one-on-one whispering where God speaks into our very spirit. He speaks into our life. Now, God's going to instruct Elijah in a whisper, one low-volume word. And from this word that he speaks, this anointing that God gives, by the way, in speaking this gentle whisper, three generations are changed. Three generations are changed. It goes on to say in your outlines there that the Lord said to him, go back the way you came. Go to the desert of Damascus, and when you get there, here's what I want you to do. He said, anoint Hazael, king over Aram. Also anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, king over Israel. And anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. Those are a bunch of big words in there. He says, I want you to do three things. Anoint Hazael is the king. I want you to get Jehu, and I want you to anoint Elisha as your successor. That affects three generations because of that one word that God spoke to him. It's probably not the word that Elijah was figuring out, thinking that God would speak to him. When you're going through a difficult time, what do you want God to do? You want to tell him how to fix your pain right now so you can get out of pain. That's typically our response. But sometimes God will show up and he'll say, I want you to do this. And you'd be like, well, that doesn't make sense. You know, the question at this point is not, does God make sense? The question is, even when he doesn't, are you going to do what he says? Elijah had to make that decision, and because he responded in obedience, there are three different anointings that take place that changes three different generations. One whisper from God is more powerful than any earthquake that you could experience. It's more powerful than any firestorm we've seen on the news that have been sweeping through the United States of America. One whisper is more powerful than tsunamis that we've heard about. We don't experience them here in Iowa, but we know that they're huge, powerful, and they're tragic. One whisper from God is more powerful than every act of nature combined together. One whisper from God. So when you're going through devastating times and you feel like the world's crashing down on you, what do you need? A tsunami? An earthquake? A tornado? You need a whisper. You need a whisper from the very presence of God. God is more powerful than all of them. Sometimes God does not directly or does not loudly tell us what we need to know, because here's what he wants. He wants your attention. He wants my attention through our faith. He wants our attention through our faith. Write down this little bullet there. God is interested in doing something in you before he's interested in doing something through you. God will always be interested in doing something in you before he does something through you. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying God doesn't want to do anything through you, but he's more concerned about what's going on inside of here. And when you have one whisper from God, it can change the whole story. It reminds me of a true story of a young man who was, he was struggling. He didn't have direction. He didn't have purpose in life. He didn't know what to do. He was starting to panic. He was getting in that panic mode like Elijah. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm already 23 and I don't want to. And he saw a seasoned pastor. He was at a church. He saw a seasoned pastor. This guy was older and he thought to himself, he's been around the block a few times. Maybe he has something that he can, you know, deposit into my heart and deposit into my life. So the pastor was over there and he said, Pastor, he said, I need some help. I need some direction. What do I do? And the pastor answered him, but the guy couldn't hear because he was like 10 feet away. And the pastor purposely whispered it. And he said, I'm sorry, can you say that again? And the pastor answered him one more time, but he whispered once again. But the gentleman couldn't hear because he was still 8 to 10 feet off. And he said, Pastor, I'm sorry, but can you speak up? I didn't hear what you said. And the pastor said, come here. And he said, he got head to head with them, just like we had done up here, forehead to forehead. And the pastor said, Son, sometimes the only way you're going to hear the Father is by getting close enough to hear his whisper. If you're here today and you need a now word, there is never any doubt is God speaking. The question is how close are you to him so you can hear what it is he whispers? You know, one of the fun things that I did in my life growing up is something I did with my dad and it's something I did with my son. And we call it pushing heads. It sounds silly. But when I was a kid, I used to put my forehead up against my dad's head, and then it'd be go, and we'd start pushing to see who had the strongest neck muscles, the boniest forehead. Yes, I was the bonehead. So we would push, and when I was younger, I'm sure maybe he let me win a few times, I don't know, but then after a while, I didn't even concern myself with that. I was just out to destroy him, you know, and I'm going after it. But we were just going, and I mean, that's close. I mean, we're talking, you can smell each other's breath and, you know, you're right up in there. And so then when we had children, Seth and I would always do that. And we'd push heads and be like, hey, you want to push heads? We put our foreheads together and we'd just, you know, it's kind of a wrestling match. And sure enough, afterwards, we're like, oh, dang, that really hurt my neck. You know, it'd be kind of sore. But you know what was fun? Just the play, the intimate, you know. Do you know intimacy doesn't just have to do with intimacy? Intimacy means closeness. Our society, our world has taken the word intimate and made it sexual only. We've put a slight to a little bit more than a slight twist on it and let it become something just with a dash of dirty in it. You know, kind of, it's a negative thing. That's not what God created it for. You find intimacy and closeness, whether you're pushing heads, whether you're celebrating your relationship with your loved one, whether you're walking hand in hand through a park, whether you're playing with the children in the backyard. See, that's how God has designed it. But when we were pushing heads, I mean, we're right up in one another's face. You see, that is exactly what God wants with you and me. He wants us to be so close. I believe God customizes his whispers, by the way. I believe the whisper that he speaks to me may not be the same whisper that he speaks to you. I'm not going to get into the whole omnipresent, omniscient, all the different omnis of God, but I want to tell you this. God is everywhere at all times and is all-knowing and knows what you're going through and understands you better than you understand you, understands me better than I understand me. So when I go to God and I say, God, this doesn't make sense, it does to him. God, I don't understand. No, but he does. God, you don't know what I'm going through. Oh, yes, he does. You mean God experienced every pain, every fight, every argument, every frustration, every addiction, everything? Yes, everything. How? Because he's God. He's God-man. He came in flesh form to die for you and me and experience. Take off. When it says he took up all the sin upon the cross for you and me, it didn't mean that, you know, like the Ten Commandments or just burglaries or murders or every pain, every worry, every stress, every fear, every heaviness and chain that you've experienced, he took upon the cross. God knows all of that. So when he whispers something to you and he whispers something to me, he knows what he's talking about. Amen. And you can take it to the bank. That's why we need to hear a whisper. One whisper from God changes everything. And if you're not hearing God, then something, you got to question what you're doing. It reminds me of a guy who was in a mental institution. One of the workers walked by and saw a guy leaning against the wall. He was like that all day long. He came back. Next day, guy's still there leaning against the wall. He thought, what is he doing? And the guy said, come here, listen. And the worker put his ear to the wall and he sat there 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. And he said, dude, I don't hear nothing. And the guy said, yeah, it's been like that all week. If you're leaning into God and you're not hearing something, then my question is do you need to recalibrate or reposition so that you know that you are hearing him? Not doing some drive-by fast food convenience type of, I want to hear God. God does not have a drive-through window. He wants us to come in and sup, dine, sit, feast, experience around the table. Now, I'm not saying that God can't answer like that. He can. But one whisper. Are we willing to take the time to come in and spend that time in his presence? You see, if you're not hearing something, something's wrong. The Bible says this. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. Let's read that one together. Is it in your outline? Okay, let's read it together. Ready? Go. Your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way. Walk in it. The Word of God saying, it will speak. The Word of God will speak to you. His Holy Spirit will speak to you, and it'll say, this is the way. Here's how you do it. Do you know when you get tempted to steal something, and you got that good angel, bad angel thing going on? I want it. Don't take it. I want it. Yeah, there's something telling you don't do that. What is that? Oh, it's my conscience. Well, it's probably the Holy Spirit, too, prompting you. Don't do it. That's a shortcut. You don't need that. If you're going to get it legitimately, whether it's stealing a pack of gum or stealing a relationship or stealing a job, whatever it is, find God's way. Hear his whisper. He will speak to you. Let me share with you two whispers that I've heard the Lord speak to me that I've hung my heart on it, and I'll continue to do so until I probably see Jesus, because when God whispers, it changes your life. And he doesn't do take backs. You know what I mean? You know, when he speaks a promise to you, and then let's say you screw something up, because chances are you probably will. Lord knows I did. He doesn't go, oh, you're unworthy, I'm taking that back. When he gives it to you, it's yours. Now what are you going to do with it? What do you mean, Pastor? Well, when I was in 1984, let me go back to 1984, okay? How many of you here were not even alive in 1984? I see you guys over there. Okay. Just kind of getting an idea. Okay. 1984. I was 14 years old, and I was good looking. I just thought I'd throw that in there. That's really irrelevant, but I was at summer camp, at church camp. By the way, if you've ever thought, summer camp, what's the big deal? Should I go? Shouldn't I go? Summer camp's great. You can have a fun time. And I know I was one of those campers that really didn't like or want to go to camp. I like the comforts of home. I like to just stay home. But when I was at camp is where I heard the Lord speak, whisper one thing to me. And we were at camp in Wisconsin, and I think you were there. I don't remember. It was in Wisconsin. A highway went through this camp, and we were doing, you had tennis courts. You know, you got the mess hall, you got the lake, you can swing out there and jump off and have fun. This particular year, how many of you remember Pastor Ross Lamphere? You remember him? Okay, he was my youth pastor. That year I took 2 pounds of flour, 2 pounds of powdered sugar, water balloons, and I don't even remember the rest of it. Took all this stuff because I was going to wreak havoc on some people. You know, it's a camp thing. You just have fun. You have one kid who throws the water at somebody coming in late at night, and the other person throws flour on him, and then you run. You know, just we would mess with people that way. Well, he found my stuff, Pastor Ross did, and he hid it. So we were kind of bummed for a day and a half until we found it once again. And then we used it on Pastor Ross for taking it in the first place. You know, camp can be fun. We can have some of those experiences. But that meant nothing compared to the one thing that God whispered to me in 1984. We were in the midst of worship. I remember the building. I don't remember all the people. I don't remember the songs. I don't remember the message. I don't remember everybody that went from this church. But I do remember the Lord whispering one thing, and I've never, ever forgot it. Right there is where the Lord called me into ministry. And it scared the daylights out of me. Not scared like, oh, I gotta run. It was just like, I'm 14, God. I can't even drive a car. And I felt just him whisper. He didn't, thus saith the Lord, James shall go into. He didn't shake or get his voice all wobbly or anything like they used to in the 1970s. Yeah. All the Holy Spirit said to me in the midst of worship, because I was, remember, I'm 14. I loved the Lord, but I also loved all my friends and probably a few of the girls that were there too. And so my focus was all around the place. But in the midst of that worship, the Lord just went, psst. And I said, yes. And he said, tag, I'm calling you. I want you. And I remember feeling honored, scared, unsure of what to do with it. And so I went to my youth pastor and I said, I feel the Lord's called me into ministry. And he says, well, good, we'll talk about that. And he kind of waited. We got on the bus the next day. We're going home. I said, Ross, I still feel that I've been called into ministry. He said, perfect. I said, what do I do? And he said, pack your bags. You're coming back to camp next week and you're going to serve. And I was like, oh, no, because that's not what I want. That's not being called to ministry. Aren't I supposed to be like floating on a cloud right now or something like that? And I had so many things to learn, but that one whisper took me all the way up to 1986, and I became 16 years old. You know what I discovered at 16 years old? I got a driver's license, and girls looked really, really good. And my attentions, my focus became less on God and his calling and more on Jim and his, what I thought was my calling. And I ended up chasing, you know, I can do whatever I want, my life, you know. And so I had that kind of a mindset. I had that kind of an attitude, and I struggled, and I made a lot of wrong choices. But yet God had whispered this back in 1984, but I'm no longer running to God. I'm running away from God. I'm running to the kingdom of Jim, because obviously that's a more fun kingdom. And it's got better answers. And the results, immediate gratification. I like that. Who doesn't? But anytime you sow those kinds of seeds, there's always going to be something that you will reap. And that time came, and I struggled with that. It was now, let me fast forward you to 1992. I've tried to live my life my way, and it didn't work. There was a God-shaped hole right here. I never felt satisfied. I never felt fully like, peace. There's just peace. I never felt fully like everything was just okie dokie, a-okay. Everything's perfectly fine. There was always this void, kind of like a wind tunnel. You know, like when you're wounded and a breeze blows across and you kind of go, because it kind of hurts, you know, kind of aches because something is missing there. And it was a God-shaped hole that was just, that only God could fill. And in 1992, approximately somewhere around there, I rededicated my life to the Lord. And I said, Lord, I'm tired of trying to do this on my own. I've been running from you since 1986. I'm tired of running. I can't even run good anymore. I never could run good to begin with. So Lord, forgive me. I'm going to stop running except to you. And when I surrendered that, I said, now what? And here came the second whisper. And you know what it sounded like? The same one I heard in 1984. I said, Lord, what do you want me to do now? And he said, Jim, tag, you're it. And I said, God, you can't, that's kind, thank you. I appreciate that. But I screwed things up. I made some major mistakes. I'm not just talking about little, I made some, you know, big daddy mistakes, you know. I've really screwed some things up, and I don't know how, you can't call me into ministry. And he just whispered that one thing, and he said, Lord, he said, Jim, he said, I'm calling you into ministry. And he said, we're going to take that in your life and redeem it. That's all I needed to hear. Of course, I said, how, when, why? I asked all the questions. But God said he's going to take it and redeem it. Two times that I can take direction in my life and trace it back to a whisper that I heard from the Lord. Let me ask you, has the Lord whispered something to you? I think there's some of you here right now. I'm just going to put it out there. I think there's some of you here the Lord whispered to you probably 15 years ago. And, well, if he whispered it 15 years ago, that's no good now, is it? Yeah. His word never returns void. If he's called you, if he's blessed you, if he's singled you out, it's because he's got a blessing for you, a ministry for you, a calling for you, whatever it is. You can run, you can hide, you can shuck, you can jive, you can pray la, 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 and pretend like you don't hear God. But it doesn't change the fact that he's spoken. I believe some of you here today are a little squirming just a little bit right now because you know it's you. You may not be doing it on the outside, but you are on the inside. And I just want to tell you this. That's not in order to make you feel uncomfortable. That's in order to confirm that's you. That's you. God's stirring something in your heart. Some of us, we've got something the Lord's whispered to us about a change we need to make. And we know it's the Lord. We need to just make that. Some of us, we know the Lord's speaking to us. And he says, there's something I want to speak life into your dark place. Then we need to listen for that whisper. Because otherwise, we'll waste it away. How many of you know who David Cassidy is? Okay. David Cassidy, if you've ever, how many of you know the Partridge Family, okay? He was the teen heartthrob, and if you've looked at the news, you saw that he passed away this last week. And I was reading something, his family was around him, his last words, I don't know if they were the exact last words, but one of the last things he spoke right before he died was he said, I've wasted so much time. Some of his last words. This is a guy who was a teen heartthrob on TV. Everyone idolized him, loved him, worshiped him to some degree. He had all that he could want in this world, yet on his deathbed said all the time, I've wasted. You see, you may be 22, 23, 35, 44 saying, look at the time I've wasted. When I was 21 years, 22, 23, whenever 19 92 happened, and I got things right. I said, oh, but look at all this that I've messed up, all this time I've wasted, all these mistakes I've made. You know, I can either identify with what I've done or I can identify with what I need to do. The choice is going to be mine. Don't trip over the fact that you messed up or you've made wrong choices. Get hung up on the fact that God's whispering to you, speaking to you, and there's something fresh and new that he wants to do. What must we do? Well, the Bible says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know. Sometimes we're not good at being still, are we? How many of you have children? How many of you told those children to sit still? And have they done it 100% of the time? No, they've not. Why? Well, because they're children and they have a hard time. Well, you know, these kids, if they just learn to sit still. We are children of God, and many times we're just like that. We don't want to sit still in the presence of God. We don't want to capture him and get forehead to forehead and say, God, you want to push heads? You want to push heads? And he'd be like, yeah. And then we get that breath of life. We get that atmosphere, that environment, that intimacy that changes our life. And it's no longer just about singing a song. It's about experiencing the heart of worship, not just singing about it. And it changes everything about us. So what do we do when God whispers to us? What do we do? Three things. You can write these down. Number one, hear his whisper. How do we respond to it? We hear it. We listen to his voice, number two. And number three, we follow. What do I do when I hear God whisper? If you're here today and you've heard God speak to you, whisper something, then the question is, have you done anything with what he's whispered? If not, you're probably not going to hear the next marching orders until you do the last thing he told you to do. If you're here today and you say, I want to know how to hear the Lord, then what you need to do is ask him and he'll speak to you. And then when you hear him, the way that you respond is you hear his whisper, which means you make room, you make time, you listen to his voice. By the way, listening does not just mean I acknowledge the fact that you're making some noise and it's coming out of your face, okay? Listening means that I've heard what you've said, and I've taken it, and I've applied it to my life. My wife wants to know that I listen to her. How is she going to know when I'm listening to her? It's when I can either repeat back what it is she said to me, but here's what's even better, I think she would agree to this, is when she said, I wish you would put the toilet seat down. I can say, I've listened to you. No, I've just heard her at that point. I've not listened until I learned to put the seat down, right? It's when it starts to transform me. It's when all of a sudden I start, she says, could you help me out with this by just picking up the garbage and take it over there? Yes, I've heard you. That's great. She likes to be heard. But she wants to know, did I listen? It doesn't mean that she's trying to control me. It doesn't mean that she's doing any of that. She's just asking. And when I respond, that confirms that I've listened. When God speaks to you, what confirms it is that it moves you to action and you do something with what God said. So when God whispers, hear his whisper, listen to his voice, and then follow him. We must follow him. How many of you here have ever been driving and you got lost? Anyone? Willing to admit it? Some wives are going, raise your hand. There's nothing more frustrating than getting lost and not knowing where you're at. I don't mind being lost when I'm alone because I can try to figure it out. And if I get frustrated and I screw it up, nobody's there to see me screw it up. You know, but if I've got other people depending on me, I want to get some direction. And let's say that you were lost. We'll just use my dad for an example, you know. We laugh a lot about direction, but let's say that you were lost. And you need to know where to go. And you went up to somebody and said, hey, I'm trying to make it to point A. And they said, oh, no problem. When you go out of the driveway here, take a left, go 3 blocks, take a right, go past old McGillicuddy's farm. You'll know it because it's red and it's got a golden retriever out there. Hey, and go take a right at that corner. When you go, you're going to curve around to the left. The house will be on your right. And you go, okay. And you're not really sure of those directions, so you ask somebody else for the same. I'm trying to get to point A. And they give you a completely different set of instructions. Don't go to the left. No, you need to go to the right, son. You need to get on the highway and drive up there because, number one, it'll be quicker. Number two, you're going to avoid a lot of the worries about gravel roads. And then you'll take a left. And when you take a left, you're going to drive about 0.34 miles or so. And then you're going to see old Mr. Smith's barn. And you're going to turn left there, like we know who Mr. Smith is. And then we're going to curve around to the right and go approximately 2 miles. And then there'll be a cul-de-sac area right there. Right up there is where you go. And you go, okay, thank you. And you walk away. And now you're more confused. You know why? Because you keep trying to get the answers to your questions from anybody and everybody that crosses your path. But nobody really knows. They may know how. They may know that they've got to that place at one point in time, but they don't know how they got there. And so they just try to throw out these directions. But let's say you run into somebody else and you say, somebody overhears you. And they say, are you trying to get to point A? Yes, I'm trying to get to point A. Here we go. I'm going to get a third set of directions. But let's say this guy goes, I'm going there myself. Why don't you just follow me? That's way different. All of a sudden you go, hallelujah. And you get in the car. And what do? You don't care about his name. You don't care about his income. You don't care about race or gender or nothing like that. You're like, you lock eyes on the back of that car and you look at those plates and you don't lose sight of it. And when you follow them, if they know where they're going, they will lead you there. But that's only if. Right, Dad? I laugh because he tells a story about leaving a conference. I think they were leaving camp, and if I've mutilated the locations, it's okay. Because he was lost anyway, so it really doesn't matter. And he gets in the car, and he thinks, I don't know where I'm going. I'm just going to follow Pastor so-and-so here. Because he's hopping in his car, and I think he knows, he looks like he knows what he's doing. You know, there's a lot of people, by the way, in this world that look like they know what they're talking about. I'm talking Christians, too. I'm just putting it out there. There's a lot of people who can talk the talk, but if they don't know which way is up and which way is down, be careful who you follow. So he gets in the car, and he follows this pastor, and it wasn't until they crossed the Indiana state border that one pulls over and he says, Jim, do you know where you're going? And he said, no, I was following you. I thought you knew where you're going. He said, well, I saw you behind me. And he said, if Jim's going this way, this must be the right way, right? Oh, how we learn. You've got to know who you're following. And if you're you got to follow those who know the right direction. If God is calling you to go to point A and he whispers it to you, you can take it to the bank. You will get there. But if you lean on anybody else's understanding except what the Word of God has for you, you're sunk. Lean not upon your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge who? Him. Who's Him? Capital H, Him. God. Lean on Him, and He will direct your path. I just want to know where God wants me to go. Then quit leaning on your own understanding and start acknowledging God's existence in your life. Well, geez, get on my face, Pastor. I love God. Okay, I love God too, but I don't get where I need to go until I start putting one foot in front of the other and start doing something. Well, you're getting kind of pushy this morning, Pastor. No. It's not about being pushy. It's about saying God is so passionate about whispering one word, now word, to you. Don't miss it. Well, if I miss it, is He ever going to speak to me again? Absolutely. He spoke to me in 1984, and then He tried to get my attention for I don't know how many years, but I just wouldn't listen. You know why? Because I was stubborn. We're not recording, are we? I was stubborn. I wanted my way. And then when I finally said, I can't do this any longer, guess who was there waiting for me? Arms wide open. And He let me come forehead to forehead and push heads with Him again. And He whispered the same word. God wants to whisper something into your heart today. The question is are you ready to push heads with God? Not push heads in competing, not push heads in being stubborn, not push heads in being hard-headed, pushing heads as far as coming together in a oneness and an intimacy and saying, God, I need to hear You. Father, I pray that today, as we humble our hearts and come before You, that You will give us a now word. Lord, a word that we need right now for whatever situation we're going through. Lord, we need to hear You for what we're facing financially, relationally. Lord God, direction in our life. We need an now word. And Lord God, we've been looking everywhere else. We've been looking in this world and looking to our friends and asking them their ideas. We've been asking them, how did they get there? But what we should have been asking is, Lord, what do You want to whisper into my very spirit today? Maybe you're here today, and the Lord's been tugging on your heart. Can I just tell you this? He just tugs on your heart because he's excited, man. It's like Christmas, and he's getting to watch his kids open up a gift. He's got a gift for you this morning, and it's a now word. Maybe it's just finally you know that He wants to give you joy. Unmolested joy, untainted joy, joy that's so pure, that comes from His presence, that it's not based upon a man or based upon a woman or based upon children. It's based upon a Father, God, that loves you. Maybe you're here today and you need that now word. I want to give you a challenge, and it's simply this. We need to respond to what it is that God speaks to us. And here's all I'm going to ask you to do. If you're here today and you know the Lord's been tugging on your heart, please don't miss this. Please don't not respond because, oh man, I don't want people to look at me. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. He wants to speak to you today, and if He's been tugging on your heart, and you need a now word. You need some physical healing. You need some relational healing. You need some emotional healing. You need to see God move in a mighty way. I need a now word, God. I need to know before I leave this building that I can have one word that You whisper because I'm going to build Your kingdom on it. If that's you, then I'm simply saying, put your hand in the air and wave it and say, that's me. I need a now word. Don't worry about anybody else. Don't worry about what they think. If they don't need the now word, then they don't need the now word now. They'll probably need it later. But if you need the now word now, He says, I want to pour out My Spirit upon you so that no matter what you're facing, you don't see an answer. You don't see an end to this. You don't see this turning out good. You don't see how God can take this thing and flip it upside down and make something beautiful out of it. But that's what He's in the business of. So Lord, You see every hand. Lord, I pray right now that You would just like a tidal wave go and pour Your Spirit out upon each and every one of us as Your sons and Your daughters. Lord, may we run and not grow weary. And Lord, may we be filled with Your Spirit in the name of Jesus so that whatever it is we're facing, whatever it is we're going through, that You will take those circumstances as we humble our hearts. And Lord, that You will take those moments and whisper one thing to us and give us a now word. Lord, I pray that You'd speak those now words right now in the name of Jesus. For some of you, it might be one word. For some of you, it might be a phrase. For some of you, it might be just a sentence that the Lord is giving to you right now. Don't worry. Am I making this up? Is this God? I don't know. Trust in the Lord with all your heart that He's speaking to you right now. And lean upon that word. Father, we surrender to You. And we come to You and say, Jesus, have Your way in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you guys. I want to do this before we do leave, because we did change it up just a little bit. We're getting ready to take our tithes and offerings right before we leave. And I just want to ask Mike if you'd come up at this time. And if you're giving in tithes and offerings, you can write it out to church with open door. You can put it in the envelope. I just ask you to just respond to the Lord. God loves a cheerful giver of time, talents, and treasure. Dr. Mike, where'd you go?